Hey guys, I'm Trent.
And I'm Garrett.
And we're Critically Awesome.
Action! Say what again! Say what again!
You're gonna see some serious shit.
I'll be back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That word is dairy.
Critically Awesome. Critically Awesome.
Welcome back, Critically Awesome crew. This is Season 3, Episode 5. We had a lot of fun with Austin and Travis with the Trash Talk podcast, playing What Is That Movie? Make sure to go and listen to episode 5. You can find it on our website, criticallyawesome.net, or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. This week should have been an episode to celebrate Garrett and Sarah's wedding with us, discussing whose fictional wedding we would crash. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus, COVID-19, they had to move their wedding to later this fall. We will still be discussing that topic, but it's going to be a very relaxed episode. Now, let us introduce our guests for this week. We have an awesome couple of guys joining us in the virtual studio because Critically Awesome has been social distancing podcast even before social distancing was even a phrase. They are the host of the Solardians podcast. These guys take their listeners on an adventure into the human becoming experience. They hail from good old St. Louis, Missouri. You can find their podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please give Marcus Boston and Cecil W. Adams a critically awesome welcome. How's it going, guys?
Hey, great, man. Thanks
for
having us.
Wow, man, you did a great job as a host. I aspire to be so.
He can't stay on script, though.
Hopefully Marcus was taking notes on that, motherfucker.
listen.
Hey, we had to pay, Marcus, we had to pay him to do our intros for us. Shit.
Hey, I write the check out to Critically Awesome, and we'll be set.
That's definitely, I was a movie phone up there. I feel official. I said, wow. I'm a light show.
Don't get his head too big, though.
Y'all are flattering me.
I don't deserve to be here.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Marcus, Cecil, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Please lead us the way.
I did. So we've had the Solardians going for about a year and a half now. We started on the couch in my living room. I started the podcast because I got mad at work, and I was like, man, you know, I bartend and well, now I own a bar, but when I started, I was just bartending and managing. And I was like, man, I really want to, the people I was working for at the time, it's kind of fucked me over a little bit on these shifts, like this weekend shift. And I was like, fuck this. I'm going to start a podcast.
Hey,
how much I know about the bar business, and then I get people to me in order to buy a bar, blah, blah, blah. Well, I started off, I made about 2 weeks, and then I called Marcus, and I was like, hey, man, I started this podcast. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Do you want to come help me, and we can just know not what the fuck we're doing together and get this thing started? And he was like, yeah, let's go. So that's how we started, and he started at the beginning. He, when we decided to do the Solardians, he started Cognac Corner, and Cognac Corner is really taken off for him as well. And I'll let him tell you a little about his personal Solardians started. I've known Marcus for a long time now. Yeah, he's always coming to the bar, and I was bartending, and we were always talking shit with each other. And I need somebody artistic because at the time I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think I had an artistic bone in my body, and now it's kind of like taking this crazy journey that we have, from on my couch a year and a half ago to, getting signed 6 months after we started to a professional label that we thought was going to be all this. But whatever. It is what it is.
Right on. That's amazing. That's an awesome
show. It's some Ozark-style stuff maybe going on there, but whatever.
Yeah, you're doing some money laundering right there?
I don't know, man.
Did you guys, the parents... Wait.
What? Say it again.
We're waiting.
Did I hear that clearly too, or was it broken up as well?
It broke up in some parts. But, yeah.
Okay. See, so are you on 5G signal at your house or the 2G? Because you broke up like every third important word.
Well, I'm on the 5G at the house, but I may have to. Okay. You know what? I may have to go up and turn the PlayStation off and turn my phone off. I don't know, man. Stuff's been weird lately. I don't know, man.
It's that COVID, yeah, man.
Because I always love that story. It's a great story, and I'll get to my story. But like, you was breaking up every third word. So I
sounded he's texting artistic. You on the 5G.
Oh, this is gonna be a long podcast.
So we are learning, but I'll throw in the part that maybe Cecil might have blipped out. So me and Cecil have a relationship from being in Soulard over the years, him being a bartender, me being a patron. And we had a moment where we was working on a show together for another platform that was way ahead of its time, but underfunded. So
MySpace.
No. it was crazy. There's that too. It was a startup.
Right.
They wanted a show about bars. And from a bartender's perspective. And that's how Marcus and I got started on a creative. I forgot about that. I always forget that. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I'm going to turn my PS4 off. Make sure it's not messing with the Wi-Fi. I'll be right back.
Righteous.
Okay. So he was doing his show, which is now another round, about, you know, just the journey of being in the bar industry and just getting that. Another a perspective we don't often get out there, you know what I'm saying? So like, who wants to, I mean, I think it's pretty dope to listen to a show from the perspective of a bartender, bar owner, and we all go to bars, blah blah blah. So he was doing that, I wasn't doing anything, I was laid off at the time, and he brought me in, just, you know, having a sense of presentation, and like, I was looking for my creative outlet, and it happened to be in podcasting. So it started off with me and him doing the Soulardians, then I knew I had an individual interest for myself, and that's with relationships and things I'm bad at. But I still think, you know, there's a conversation to be had from another perspective. So Cognac Corner came out of that, and then we ran with that we've been probably doing podcasts since November 18, so with 18 months, give or take. And from there, we had my podcast, Cognac Corner, the Soulardians, our podcast together. And then we have another podcast, Half the Glass, with my friend Omar. And that's Marijuana and Basketball. And then Cecil's the fourth. To, you know, we have underneath us at the time right now. So it was those four. We just doing the podcast thing and seeing how far we can go. And we thought we had some bigger, like bigger machines behind us, and we realized the best machine you can have is yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No one see it like you see it. Yeah. So yeah. That's a long story short. You know, it's just
short story to long.
Understand right. The world of podcasting.
That's about the truth. Like I just, we've had this podcast since about 2016, and we haven't gotten like super far with it, but we're starting to get someplace with it this year. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm gonna blame the coronavirus for us starting to get bigger. So that's about one of the only good things that's coming out of this thing.
Yeah, I feel like each year we have grown in some way or some form, for our podcast, definitely.
And I think it's because we're reaching out to more people and actually talking to them. You know,
definitely.
Beat the streets, man.
We're really working hard to try to be, especially on other people's podcasts, to promote our podcast. So, you know, we've been trying to do that as well as having other people from other podcasts on ours, so that way we kind of get that cross promotion, you know?
Like, I just started to be a part of this new brand new podcast called The Boys on YouTube. The Boys podcast, and this is just a bunch of other like content creators, a bunch of other different, like there's like four or five of us on there, and like they don't even call me by my real name, they just call me by my podcast name. I'm like, you know what, just come on, keep calling me Critically Awesome, and then they're gonna look it up, and then they're gonna find this big ass yellow emblem.
Yeah.
That looks like it. That looks like Kill Bill's album. Kill Bill's like cover. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah, but I mean, in my opinion, the podcast game is no different than anything else. Like, as digital as you want to be, you only grow actually meeting people and reaching out and like doing the cross promotion, because you never know who might be inspired or hear something from somebody else's audience. You know, so I know my taste and everything is so diverse. So I never know what I might hear a taste in the place I didn't plan on being at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Let's before we start getting too deep in here, let's do a little I don't know what I'm thinking about
do
right
some
now.
Some sponsorships.
Yeah, do some little crowd surfing here or crowd control.
Let's listen to your sexy voice now.
All right, so the best way to support Critically Awesome Guys is to go to patreon.com/criticallyawesome. Or you can go to our website, criticallyawesome.net, and go to the support tab and click the big red button that says become a Patreon. We have two tiers. There's the awesome tier, which is just $1. We get a shout out on the next episode. As well as there's the next tier, which is the critically awesome tier, which is $4. And you get a shout out, as well as you get to listen to the next episode before anyone else. And I usually get those out by the weekend before we release it that Wednesday. So you get a couple more days earlier than most people. But like I said, this is the best way to directly support us, as well as go to our merch tab on our website, and you can get literally almost anything with our logo on it.
That's awesome.
Yep, Trenton has his AS shirt on too that we wore at Branson Comic Con. So definitely go check out the merch. You can get like t-shirts, you can get mugs, you can get tapestries, you can get so many other things. I mean, it's
I've heard you say that. I don't know what a tapestry is.
It's what's behind you. It's what's behind you, really. It's like a flag.
Ah.
I'm going to get one of those put behind me.
Yeah, it's pretty much like what you have behind you, Cecil, with your logo right there behind it.
I got you.
Yeah, that's what a tapestry is.
Gotcha.
So that's another good way to support us, because we get that funding as well.
You guys see this? You guys can't see it. This was our very first, podcast cover right here.
Yeah, that looks really professional. Looks like a business podcast.
That's Fiverr right there. That costs. What did it cost, Marcus?
$10. Too much.
that looks like I'm about to buy a house.
Right, exactly. He looks like. Look how good his picture looks, right? Look how good he looks. Look at his big smile and everything. Look at. I'm an old picture. Like, but he put looks like.
You put that shit in black and white, looks like a Civil War picture.
It does. Nailed it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Nailed it.
Also, we gotta give a shout out to Podcast Mo, which both of us, Critically Awesome and the Solarians, are on Podcast Mo. They're the one stop shop for any Missouri local podcasts. There's about 50 or so podcasts now, and it's just continually growing. So definitely go give all the podcasts on there a listen. Last season we had several hosts from other podcasts from Podcast Mo. Also, if you're a podcaster and in Missouri, that's a great place to reach out to other podcasters and invite them on your show, get invited on their show, you know, just do whatever you need to do to promote yourself, you know?
Nothing like a free plug for Podcast Mo.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Once again, Critically Awesome on the check. Anyway, there's another way that you can support our podcast. I've actually started streaming video games and horror games on Facebook. I'm not enjoying it, but I don't like getting scared, but you know, it's all for the laughs. Everyone likes watching people getting scared, so you know, why not? So if you watch my stream while watching my stream, you can actually send stars, and every 10 stars is like a dime in Critically Awesome's pocket, because everything is going to the podcast / stream. So watch my stream, you send some stars, and you know that'll be amazing. So, you know, 10,000 stars.
Is that's like awesome, man. Is that that's on Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook streaming. Yep. Facebook gaming, I mean.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take that out. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, right now I'm actually streaming Alien Isolation. Like, I liked Facebook streaming services because, like, it's the community there is actually a lot better. It's more tame when you get a group of people together and they actually start, you know, listening to one another, and you get a following. Those people are very loyal. They stay very, you know, nice, and there's no real trash talk on Facebook streaming, unlike when you get into Twitch. Twitch is full of a bunch of haters, and oh, yeah. Facebook, you know, you've got a lot of people that, you know, will support you no matter what. Whether you be playing a really crappy game and they don't really want to watch you, they're still going to watch you and support you anyways. And that's what I really like, because a lot of the people there support the streamer, not the game. So
that's awesome. I have a game.
Sounds very tribal.
It is. Like it's awesome.
Yeah, I every once in a while I'll stream just messing around on Twitch or whatever. But yeah, for my PlayStation, I didn't know Facebook was an option. That's awesome. I'll have to check it out.
It's great. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of the new Twitch. So I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know Twitch. Or a lot of the big time gamers that were doing Twitch kind of just switched over to another platform. So that I guess Facebook's Mixer. Like, yeah. Mixer, so I guess new Facebook's and, trying to keep up with them and doing their own thing. You know, I dig it. Like, I'd rather go on a platform that's new, and while the algorithm's still trying to figure it out, you know, mm-hmm. to go on there and try to make a name for yourself. You know,
so it's a lot easier to get big on Facebook than it is on Twitch or Mixer, to where everything is just so like diluted and everyone's doing that already, to where if you go into something new and fresh, you're going to get more and more and more, and you're just going to, like, you know, it's easier to share it, and it's easier to get the word out on like Facebook gaming. So
yeah, definitely. And then you know, I mean, my biggest platform right now is still Facebook. You know, my Instagram's climbing, but you know, Facebook, like, yeah, I'm glad to have that, because I'm definitely going to check that out, because that's awesome. Are you on PlayStation or your Xbox guy?
I play PlayStation, but whenever I'm streaming, I'm doing PC because I don't have a capture card yet. Once I get a capture card, it's going into this computer. I'm streaming on PlayStation, so
nice.
I'm better at console. I'm like finger retarded on the computer. So.
Right. I think the last video game I played on PC was WoW, and that was. Yeah, World of Warcraft. That was a long.
Wow, that's a long go, probably.
that's really long ago. Yeah. Wow. So, I'm talking like it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and roll right into our at home recommendations. We'll go ahead and do our guest first. So, Cecil, why don't you start us off with the stuff that you watch? Now on this. As I was telling Marcus before the stream, or before the podcast started, we have this thing called the critical potato scale, and it's kind of like the rotten tomato scale, to where 0 is just terribly rotten, and then 100 is like the best score you can give anything.
Like 0 is like potato famine in Ireland.
That's very accurate.
Right.
And 100 is like... Like a nice, like twice baked potato.
Twice baked potato is what that is.
Right.
So, I
stayed away from the whole potato game for quite a while, especially the last year, but I just kind of started eating some potatoes again after stopping eating meat. So, I understand the potato famine. So, the first one, The Expanse, I finished it. I started watching it at the beginning of this whole thing, and if you're into sci-fi, it's definitely awesome. It's on Amazon Prime. It's probably the most realistic outer space type show you'll ever see. You know, a lot of it with the gravity, you know, and I like it. I'll give it an 80.
Nice.
I'll give it an 80.
80 critical potatoes.
Yeah, I've watched probably maybe the first season, and I want to get back into it because I've heard it's gotten really good. Like,
yeah. Amazon put some money in it. You can tell the more popularity it got, the more money was stuck into it. It's kind of, you know, you can tell by the cinematography that it got better.
Yeah, and The Expanse is actually, it's based off of the novels that they wrote.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, there's novels that are The Expanse novels. I have not read them yet, but I want to, or at least maybe listen to them on audiobook too.
Yeah, I'll listen to a lot of books on audiobook. I can't remember the last time I just sat down and read a full book. I'm more of an audio person myself.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I like listening to audiobooks more, definitely, because I have more time to listen than to actually just sit down and read. Exactly. But sometimes I enjoy having a book just to read, though, too, you know?
Right. Oh, I understand that. I have Dave. If you're familiar with Lil Dicky, the rap artist, it's basically how he got started in the industry is what I'm taking from it. And it's on FXX, available on Hulu. It's really funny and it's very raunchy. It's good. It's really good. And that's their first season. They're still in the first season right now, and I'm caught up on it. It's really good. It's called Dave. Movie Extraction. I just finished that. Watched it with my girlfriend. I think she was more waiting for Chris Hemsworth to take his shirt off, which never happened. Spoiler alert.
That's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Right. I was on the low. I was kind of like looking forward to seeing that shirt too.
Just take off the shirt.
Come I mean, he's a military guy in that movie, right? So I feel like he should have took it off his shirt sometime.
I mean, he had a cutoff on. I mean, that's close, but. Another one I just finished that I really enjoyed was Sunderland Till I Die. It's about the Sunderland Football Club over in Europe, how they dropped from Premier League to the second tier, which is Champions League, and then how they dropped from the second tier to now they're in the third tier. And it's really good. And the passion that you see out of these people and the way you understand why they have so much passion, because basically they fund their club, you know, and to go from, you know, being in the Premier League for 30 years and now they drop down again. It's crazy how much passion they have for this sport. It's insane to me how you can live and die by a sport because, you know, you don't understand it at first, and then you understand how many jobs are lost and how much revenue is lost by the fact that they aren't winning.
Yeah.
Which, you know, where people are losing their jobs because they don't have the funding, because they get less and less money as they drop down. And, you know, all these people are getting laid off that work there. And then, you know, all the businesses that are losing money because they're not winning. It's crazy deep dive into that life. Westworld, of course, it's all coming full circle. Now, I don't know if you guys are caught up on Westworld or Westworld.
I haven't watched season 3 at all yet, but I've watched season 2 definitely, 1 and 2. I need to start watching season 3 though.
Yeah, season 2, I didn't understand why it was such a big deal that they had sold all the information of the people that come in the park, all their
like DNA and stuff.
Yeah, well, not necessarily DNA, but all their like what they're doing, what they're into, their data, like, well, just like on the internet.
I think it's just because most of those people are high profile right. people, so they don't want to really share that stuff with other people.
Yeah. Well, season 3, you really learn why they such a big deal. That's what it all came full circle. And the last one, I didn't list it on the email, but I finished Devs on Hulu. It's from FXX. It's really good. Very, very scientific, like super, we'll call it super nerdy.
Okay.
Because they go in a lot of, because Devs stands for developers, and you actually see, what's his name? Damn it. Or his real name. The guy from Parks and Rec.
You talking about the Jason Bateman?
Nope.
No.
No, he's married to the chick from Will and Grace.
Oh, I was going to say Chris Pratt, but that's...
No.
Parks and Rec, never mind.
I got to Google it. Son of a gun.
Now, what would you rate these on the Critic Potato Scale?
I put Devs at a 75. I would put Sun Until I Die at a 90. And I'd put Dave at
86.37. Oh, ooh. Russian score.
All right. And how about Westworld? What
do we what Westworld, curious about attraction? Westworld I put it at 90. I love
on
that.
On season 3 so far?
Season 3 so far, yeah. Because wrapping your head around what the consequences was for them to sell that information like they did.
Yeah.
Really puts in perspective. It's almost like life imitating art, because this is coming out and then you're hearing all these things about so much stuff that's being sold in real life, all the information, all that type of things. I feel like it's like turning up a notch. Like Westworld is like, yeah, this is happening in real life, but like, let's just turn this up a notch and what really could happen. And that's what's like got me hooked. Like, holy cow, this is really what could happen with our information.
Imagine if we could put a tax on that.
Right.
Could only, you know, fund $1,000 every person over 18.
Right.
Anyways,
Nick Offerman is who I cannot think of. Nick Offerman in a serious role on Devs. Nick Offerman.
Now, what do you rate Extraction? I was very curious about that one.
Extraction, it was a total action jerk-off movie. So I'll give it like a
79.8. Ooh.
So it's just a basic, kind of a basic guide action movie.
A basic bro movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That's why I loved it so much.
All right, Marcus, your turn, my friend.
I think Underground 6 was a better movie than Extraction.
I've seen Underground 6. That's a Michael Bay movie, so there's a lot of explosions. But
for no reason.
That's what we called the Michael Bay movie. We called that one a Michael Bay jerk-off movie.
Yeah. But I have not seen Extraction yet, so I can't tell you how I feel about that one. But the Underground 6 one, I enjoyed it. I mean, Ryan Reynolds was his usual charming self, you know, so.
Right.
And I felt like the storyline was pretty good. The plot. I think the plot was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
For an action movie.
Yeah, I need good storylines to care these days, which is hard.
Yeah, definitely.
In action. And then good storylines don't always go together. I think my list is, first is Bad Boys 3. Do I need to elaborate on why? Or I just say Bad Boys 3?
You could say your list and say what you rated as a critical potato, and then if you want to elaborate
Bad
on
Boys
what you
3,
like.
Yeah, Bad Boys 3 is my favorite movie because it's Martin Lawrence. You can't see. Is that better? Is my lighting better now?
Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're good where you were.
No, I couldn't hear him. I texted him.
You can't see me? I mean, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, what more is there to an action movie? Only Michael Bay didn't direct this one, so the obvious explosion wasn't there, but he was still involved in production, so it's had that unnecessary shootout in comic scenes. But because it's done recently, it looks like Narcos with the violence, so I had to get used to actually seeing, you know, people get shot. In a more realistic way than the previous Bad Boys 2. I'm gonna say 95 out of 100.
Oh dang.
Only because of I'm giving it for legacy points. I mean I take that back. I gave it such a high score because I was impressed with the story. Cause I didn't know how it was gonna have a third movie after so many years away. And all the good drugs are gone. Like, he was heroin, you already used pills. I'm like, what's left to really get involved? And the storyline was good. So that's why I gave it such a high score, because I'm a fan of good storylines.
It's a good ending to a trilogy, essentially, kind of thing.
Yeah, like there's gonna be another one.
Oh, there is. Yeah, okay.
I mean, they need to cut the check more often than every 10 to 12 years. But yeah, so that one, it was refreshing, and I enjoyed it. So I give it a high score because of the storyline and legacy points. Second thing I've been watching this channel has been this TV series called Mysteries of the Abandoned. And me and Caesar talked about it a little bit on our show the other day. And it's mostly just each episode is about an hour long, and they take you around the world, and they break down, explain why certain properties are no longer being used. You know, a lot of World War II, you know, war bunkers or a ghost town in the middle of Namibia in Africa to a resort town in Argentina. So it goes around the world and pretty much just tell you about, you know, why this abandoned site. So I've been really into that, watching seasons, been watching the hell out there. I'm a huge history buff. You know, when you know where you've been, you can sort of plan better where you're going.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
So that's been eating up my time. And like I was telling Cecil again the other day, like, World War II was real. Like, they don't really explain to us, especially being so far away from, and like how serious that was to a whole different book. You know, we sort of, especially if you don't have like grandparents that are around that lived during that time, like World War II was heavy. It was serious. So that's enjoyable to watch. So that's Mysteries of the Abandoned on the Science Channel. And I think I said, Endgame. I mean, Endgame is something I watch probably once a week or every other week. So
yeah, that's
Endgame is just,
that's such a great ending to a decade long series of movies. It's a really great like ending to it, I feel like.
Yeah, closure. I mean, I'm always a fan of closure.
Yeah,
give
definitely.
Me some good closure. You showed me you cared about me to give me some closure.
Yeah, I'm very interested in how the MCU is going to continue after doing Endgame. You know, like they have movies lined up, but I'm curious to see how they're going to, you know, that's practically almost like start over essentially again. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think
especially with how they.
I think the new chapter would be great. Looking forward to some baseline characters coming out. Honestly, some of the lower level characters maybe coming out and bringing that maybe weren't as popular in a comic that are gonna come up. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Hopefully, they start bringing out some more of the comic book characters that are not like household names. You know. Right. Just like how Guardians of Galaxy wasn't like a household name, and they made it into, now it's going to be a trilogy movie, you know, and they're like, they were the big part of Endgame and as well as I can't remember the movie before Endgame. What's the movie before Endgame?
Infinity War.
Yeah.
Infinity Wars.
You know, they were.
I knew as soon as they had Brad Pitt was the voice of the raccoon, I was like, oh, he's got to have a big part of it. I didn't realize how big a part he was going to have, but I was like, oh, wow. Like,
I think it's Bradley Cooper, actually.
That's Brad Pitt. I meant Bradley Cooper. Sorry.
That would have been really interesting if I had him as a Rocket Raccoon, as
right,
Brad
exactly.
Pitt.
I don't know about that. My bad.
Garrett, that's did good. You want to do your list?
Yeah, I'll do mine. So Sarah, my fiance, and her sister and I, we watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding this past weekend. And I gave it an 82 Critical Potatoes. It's a good, like, rom-com, you know? It's a good, solid, just rom-com movie. And then Sarah and I have been watching, she's never seen any of the X-Men at all. She's not much of a comic book person or superhero person as well as a movie person, really. But
I am so glad that you are getting this through.
So we've been watching, we started watching X-Men and X-Men 2, which is really interesting. I haven't watched those movies in quite a while, actually. So it was a good kind of refresher on those movies. But I give both of those about a, like between a 78 and 80 critical potatoes. But for both those movies.
Wow.
And I give that high because, like, I mean, it just kind of brings up Marion's more than anything, because, like, these movies were really great when you were kids. Because we were kids when these movies came out. At least, I know Trent and I. I'm pretty sure you guys are probably around the same age as us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 40, so, like, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, it definitely was, because Sarah made a comment about, like, I could see how you could really enjoy this movie if you were a kid when you watched it, because it was just full-on, like, action, superhero action, before there was an MCU.
True.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
No, I'm not saying anything was wrong with it. I'm saying
that to Sarah's point.
Yeah.
Superhero action.
And I agree with it. But, you know, like, as you rewatch movies, you know, especially if they've been out for, I think this came out in early 2000s. So, like, it's been over, it's almost 20 years old, the movie. So, you know, it's really interesting to see what movies kind of keep their luster, their pizzazz in the, you know, when you watch them, you know, just the way that you felt when you first watched them, you know, and so, which of course, you know, gonna see Hugh Jackman, his first role as, you know, Logan Wolverine, and Neil Patrick Harris.
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
I literally was just getting ready to ask you, who's your, I think Patrick Stewart, to me, Patrick Stewart's the best Professor Xavier.
Yeah, I kind of liked the first class, but I liked when they combined the original X-Men and then the, rebooted X-Men, essentially. McAvoy.
Days of Future Past.
Yes. That's like probably one of my favorites, like, X-Men movies, I feel like. Because it brings both stories together. And of course, which I need to watch it again, but Logan's like my best, like, Wolverine movie that I like.
Oh, that movie's amazing. I love that one. That was one of my, that's a really dope ass movie.
Yeah. Anyways, continuing on. I finished The Letter to the King. Which is a Netflix original TV series, and there's only one season right now. And what I finished in it, I give it an 88 critical potatoes, and it's a very high fantasy movie. There's magic, there's, you know, like, other creatures in this realm of a fantasy, and you follow this character where he's not like the traditional hero you would think he is, and he kind of winds up being almost actually more of a side hero to the true person that is supposed to save the day. So the ending was a very good kind of plot twist to it. So I definitely highly recommend this. It's The Letter to the King. This kid gets like a quest to take this letter to king of one of the three realms, and he kind of finds new friends along the way and things like that. And it's a good, like, hero's quest movie, kind of like Lord of the Rings, things like that. So I definitely recommend it. Definitely give it a check out. Trenton, how about you?
Well, I watched a very interesting series on Netflix called Waco.
I started it. I couldn't. Ugh.
It was really good. Like, it was nice to see it from the perspective of the Branch Davidians instead of, you know, what the media and what the FBI was trying to present. So it was kind of nice seeing it from a different perspective And I mean, Garrett and I were 1 year old when this happened. So if that kind of puts it into perspective of how long ago the incident at Waco took, when how long ago it took place, that was almost 30 years ago. So, but
this is old.
Say what?
I know. I was like, oh,
this is old. Cecil's 40. Cecil's actually, he actually might remember it come on the news. Oh,
I do. I do, actually. I do. What, what's the guy that played David Koresh, Taylor?
The actor? I know. Yeah. He was on another movie, too.
He was in the second season of True Detective as well. Taylor Kish? Is it Kish?
I believe so. Yeah, Taylor Kitschis, Kitsch.
Yeah, and then he was on
Friday Night Live. He was on Wolverines as Remy LeBeau, so he was the Gambit.
Yeah,
I like him. John Carter, Battleship.
John Carter gets bad rap. I'm just saying. I actually enjoyed this.
It was terribly good.
It's definitely one of those movies that are like. It's not that good, but it's still pretty good as far as like the visual effects and everything. I feel like.
I mean, he does fantastic. God is long. But yeah, Taylor, he does a great job as David Koresh, and it's just a crazy series. And then I knew about it, so I kind of know, like I knew what was going on the whole time, because. Well, I like history and that kind of stuff. Right. So, but my wife had no idea like Waco even happened. She just knows the town of Waco because of the Fixer Uppers. So I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, bless your heart. I love you.
What's the Fixer Uppers? Is that like they rehab houses or something?
How do I explain it? It's a husband and wife who. Buy and sell houses and fix them up according to what they think the owner would want. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like Property Brothers, but like a husband and wife doing it.
It's when the couple, they have very low income, but they have $1 million budget.
Right. Couple one and two got a $1,200 stimulus check. Budget is $3.63 million. Right. But I gave Waco a 90 on the potato scale because it was just it kept me enthralled and I wanted to keep watching it. And it was something that Tiffany and I, my wife and I, would watch together. And I couldn't watch it without her. And even if I thought about watching it without her, you better believe I'd be in trouble. So
yeah. With my old lady, my girlfriend, I had to start like. Because every time we start something, like, she'd, like, fall asleep or go to bed. And, like, I'd keep watching and watch the next one. I just finally was like, I'll watch ahead and rewatch and catch the other things. catch what I missed the first time around.
Mm-hmm. I've watched this show with Ricky Gervais called Afterlife.
Oh, I can't wait to start season two.
It is. Season two is quite fantastic, actually. It's a continue on in the story after, he's still in his recovery process. He's still trying to be a better person and move forward without his wife being around. And, you know, it kind of hits home for me a little bit because I start putting myself in the perspective of Ricky Gervais's character. Like, what if my wife died? What would I do? How would I act like this? Just sulk all the time, try to commit suicide, but it doesn't work. And then my dog saves my life, basically. So, you know, Afterlife, I'm giving it an 80 on the critical scale because Ricky Gervais' acting in that is fantastic. I mean, he's still funny, but he's also serious, and he's got to have a back brace because he's carrying that show on his back.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
What did you think? Side note, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not trying to go off topic. What did you think of his Golden Gloves? Was it Golden Gloves speech?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. I'm glad because he didn't want to do Golden Globes. He's just trying to make sure that he doesn't do it again. So he just gave Hollywood the middle finger, and I thought it was fantastic. But
I love it when he was like, spoiler alert, I got a second season of my show.
But I watched Django this morning, and that is another one of my favorite. Tarantino, in case you guys don't know, Tarantino is one of my favorite directors. He is my favorite director. I love him so much that my wife actually threw me a surprise Tarantino birthday party.
That's awesome.
Garrett was a part of, because he took me to go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on my birthday.
Yep.
And then I came home to a Tarantino themed party, and I was like, "What is all this? This is awesome." So
yeah, critically awesome.
Critically awesome. Yeah, I don't think you understand how much I use that so much. I'm giving Django an 88 on the critical potato scale, solely because it's, you know, Jamie Foxx. It's Tarantino at its best. You know, I love it. And then I watched Lord of the Rings, all of them, the extended editions.
You have way too much time on your hands.
Listen, well, you can thank COVID-19.
Yeah.
Say it.
You can thank the 19 for that one.
But what I loved even more about it, I think what made it even better for me, is that my youngest daughter sat there right beside me the entire time watching it and invested. And she's only three. She was invested in this. And I'm like, there's hope for one of my kids to be as nerdy as me. But I'm giving it a 100 on the critical potato scale.
She's also three, but...
She sat down and watched...
We'll see when she's a couple
Lord
years
of the Rings
old.
With me. All three of them. Watched all three Lord of the Rings. And then, right after that, we started watching Star Wars. And guess what she was doing? She was sitting there right next to me, watching the TV, watching Star Wars with me.
Were
you giving her treats?
No.
I'm still holding out hope.
She sat down next to me. She put her hand on my lap, and we held hands, her little tiny hand. I was like, this is fantastic.
I am holding hope for it, but I want to wait to see when she's like five or six.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she's trying for the favorite kid position. So,
well, so far she's in the top one running right now. So I'm just...
Right now she's top one, but she's also, you know, the one that gives me the most pain and heartache because of how what she does. But that's another story for after the podcast. But yeah, 100 on critical potatoes, but you can't go wrong with Lord of the Rings, especially the extended editions, because you get so much. And because I'm reading the books also, or listening to the books on Audible, it just makes it even better. And you're just like, that didn't happen like that. That didn't happen like that, but that did. And that is fantastic. So that's how I mean, because I love Lord of the Rings. I'm going to get completely invested with it as much as I can.
Is that available on any streaming services?
I'm sorry? I bought on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
For $8 a pop. So.
Which is not bad for an extension.
Whoa.
$8
a pop. Rented or owned?
Bought. Owned.
Owned, okay. Owned. $8 a pop to own. Cool.
An extended edition at that, too. Not just theatrical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I got it. Because I've already got the theatrical version, but I bought the extended because your boy loves it. So. All right. We're going to move on. Yeah. I've been in a weird mood recently.
It's that streaming, man.
I'm realizing is that no one loves me. Like, I haven't mentioned a girlfriend or a child yet. I'm just sitting like, man, I've really ruined 35 years.
It's so funny because, like, you guys talk about being married. Like, my girlfriend and I have been together 7 years now. Marcus can't buy a girlfriend.
I'm probably just give up and just buy one.
Russ is looking real good for him right now.
you might get a discount on a mail to order wife from like Asia, maybe.
Damage good discount. Take as is.
Yeah, they less the price because it costs you more to ship.
I would try China first, see how that goes for you.
Oh, I'm reliable to accept my fate.
Just check out Wuhan, see how that goes.
Oh,
that's messed up. We're gonna lose viewers.
All right, guys. How about some of your podcasts, books, comic books, streamers, games, anything that you'd like to recommend to listeners as well?
Go ahead, Marcus. Start this one off, Marcus.
What, Cecil? You broke up. I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said, you start off because you're the book guy.
Book-wise, I'm reading Father of Spin. It's an autobiography book of Edward Bernays, which is the father of public relations, the industry as we know it. And he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. So it really breaks down his personal life a little bit, his creation of the industry, how he sort of outlived all his critics. So if everybody that could say otherwise that his story's dead, guess what the final version of the story is? Mine. So it's a culmination of his life. And people do go back and sort of fact check what he says after he's dead. He released all these files he collected over a 60 years in the industry he created. So you sort of can see what was true, what was not. But like, he's pretty much the person that created public relations, that if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have this whole industry. So it's so interesting to see how far it's come and where it's going when all the infrastructure is still the same. Technology is clearly different, but you're still dealing with people and perception and time. So that's very interesting to read and through. I'm also reading Masters of the Word, which is a thick-ass book, and it's pretty much just breaking down the history of language as we know it, and give a historical context of how we get from calligraphy form in Mesopotamia to the printing press in Europe to how we are using computers and everything now. It's just so funny with that thing, like how much access we have to information now, and we don't necessarily know how to use it compared to what they didn't know back then, because knowledge is power then and it's power now. Reading that book, that's a good one. Culture Code is another one. Just figuring out how to, if you're looking to build a company or even just a small group, how understanding the value of a culture and what you do or don't do sort of forms how successful that thing you're building with other people are. Those are the books. I don't know. I mean, podcasts, I'm a big New York Times Daily listener.
Okay.
I like how they give you an in-depth, perspective on whatever going on in the news. And it comes out every day, and it's like at least 30 minutes or so. So it's an easy listen and gives you a little more context to your content at a higher level. I think I listen to Decode Recode, another one. And she does a really good job for like tech industry stuff. I can't think of her name, but like her podcast is good. She did give a lot of different, more in-depth conversations or, perspective on things in the world. So I like things that give me a human depth perspective on how people culminate and do stuff. So I find it. Can I have a piece too? I would like some as well, ma'am. I don't mean to be rude, but I would like some of your delicacies as well. If you could ship me a box of 592.
What was that? I saw her hand him something. I didn't know what it was.
I wish I had someone to bring me treats. My life is so sad.
What are you getting treats? I'm over here.
Yep.
I may have made a wrong turn somewhere.
I'm so glad I've got wireless internet.
I may text text Blair and see if I can get another drink.
Nice. Okay.
Sarah, I'm hungry.
I'm sad that all this teamwork.
Yeah, well,
not a drink.
Yeah, well, it works. Exactly. My drink's empty. Ooh. Maybe I just shake my cup.
Guys, this is pretty good.
Oh, man. I've really failed in life. I've really failed.
Hey, you'll find the right woman.
If I hear that one more goddamn time, I swear.
No,
maybe you'll find the right man. Who knows?
I am delivered. I am.
So I am delivered. It's funny because our studio is in the basement of my house, and there's times because when I'm getting home from the bar, I'll come in and the lights on downstairs. I'm like, what's going on? And Mark is down here, just down here working in the studio doing stuff. Like, There was a time when Bob's first opened, when I bought it, Marcus spent more time at my house than I did. That's for real. He was literally at my house more than I was. I think I'm the closest thing to a relationship he's ever had.
Hey, you know, there for a while I was with Garrett, so
he still is. I'm his second wife technically, so
pretty much.
Right. I heard you guys. Yeah, I was listening to you guys' podcast, and I heard you guys reference that quite a bit. I was like, oh, I understand.
Hey, you know,
I understand.
If you're not at least, if somebody's not questioning your sexuality when you're around your best friend, are you guys really friends?
That is true.
I don't even know if I should tell him that story about Matt or not.
Oh yeah, the one where Matt said that he was that you guys adopted
the
your daughter.
My child.
No,
yeah.
you guys adopted your firstborn.
Yeah. So we were in Walmart. All right, and
you know it's a great story when you say we were in Walmart.
Oh God, I hate Walmart so much. I don't even go there.
I can't remember the last time I was at Walmart. But you know, it's a good story though.
Yeah, we were at Walmart, and it was my oldest daughter was about a year, maybe not even, and
she was still a baby, pretty much.
She was still in a car seat. My wife had walked off somewhere, I don't remember what, to get something, and my best friend Matt was living with us at the time, and so we were Garrett's my best friend.
Damn
we
right.
were. I was by the cart, and I was looking at Ashley, and I was like, you know, kind of fixing her up a little bit. Matt was over there too, and this old man comes up to us, and he's like, "Oh, what a cute baby!" And Matt, without missing a beat, takes his arm, puts it around me, and like squeezes me in real tight. "Yes, I know. We just adopted her last week. We were thinking about naming her Susan, but I don't know. I'm feeling Ashley." I'm like, "Get off of me!" My wife is over there, and the old man just kind of like wide-eyed.
Probably about to have a heart attack.
He starts walking away because, like, this is Branson, Missouri, and, you know, this was like almost 10 years ago. So
this is America doing down the drain.
He just walks away as fast as he can. He's like, "Oh, sweetie, I hear you."
Yeah. I love it, man.
It was fantastic. It's still a great story, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. You can't ever forget that.
And now he's about to have his first child.
Matt. That's right. Matt's about to have his. Oh, man. Time to go to Walmart, I guess.
Right. Now it's my turn.
Bitch.
Such a sweet.
And pay with interest.
Such a sweet. With interest.
All right. Yeah. Cecil, is it your turn now?
Yes,
it is. Yeah. I just finished listening on Audible. I listened to Dan Crenshaw's book, Fortitude. It's basically the whole book. Yeah, say what you want about Dan Crenshaw. He is a Republican from Texas. Like, I'm not a political guy. I didn't give a fuck. Like, he's former Navy SEAL. Like, I want to hear, like, this dude lost an eye in Iraq. Like he's been through stuff. And but he talks about basically fortitude. Oh, there we go. So basically fortitude is about how to deal with people in outrage culture, and it really gives perspective on how to be a logical skeptic, and that I really enjoyed that book. That book was actually really well. It just came out probably about 3 weeks ago. I happened to be listening to Joe Rogan's podcast, and he had Dan Crenshaw on again. And they were talking about his book, and I was like, oh, you know, I should get that book. And then I thought I'd cancel my Audible subscription, and then I got a email saying like, "Oh, you have 11 credits in your Audible. You have 11 credits in your Audible."
That's 11 months you haven't used it.
Exactly.
Hey, welcome back.
I canceled it a long time. I was like, "Well, I guess I so called Audible, got that turned off until after all this or whatever." But I had 11 credits, so I was like, "Oh, let me pick up Dan Crenshaw's book for a credit." So I picked it up. It's been really good. And I enjoyed that book. It really put perspective on how to deal with people that basically headline read and try to get you into a gotcha moment. It put a lot of perspective to me on how to deal with people with that type of personality where they don't they just read the headline and then get all infuriated about it. You know, like, really loved it. The other one, Never Split the Difference. I read that a while ago, but it was really, is a great book. Basically, it's just like, no one's ever happy when you split the difference. Whenever you're negotiating, it's basically a negotiation book. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I also, a great book, The Four Agreements. I've been meaning to read that for a long time, and I finally read that. It was amazing. You know, the biggest thing I took away from that was be impeccable with your words. So, you know, what you say can either, you know, heal, or it can also put...
Ma'am, you can't keep bringing in snacks.
What's he called, Marcus? Dark magic?
One person.
I couldn't hear what he said.
This is a blueberry and raspberry muffin, I do believe.
She's bringing in muffins, and you know what? Garrett, you better tell Sarah to be shifting.
He's eating it slow. He's really enjoying it.
I'm
going to leave a Yank review about
the other one.
It's like ASMR.
Email. I am going to flex.
The other book is David Goggins' "Can't Hurt Me." It's a great book. Basically, talking about his struggles. He's a dude. I don't know if you guys are familiar with David Goggins, but he's a dude that just basically his whole thing, like his saying, is "Get hard, motherfucker." Like,
I've heard about him. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's great. Leadership Strategy and Tactics by Jack Wilnick is the other one that I just finished. I listened to three different books this week. I've been working construction because I can't be around my girlfriend all day every day, so I just had to go back to working construction. So I listen a lot while I'm at work. And I just bought today The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. Is that right? Did I say that right?
No idea.
The Infinite Game is, yeah, Simon. Hold on, let me look at my Audible.
Hold up. I'm not familiar. I'm almost
positive I pronounced it right.
I'll say you got a Cecil over here trying to avoid his girlfriend, and you got Marcus here who needs one. What's going on there?
Ooh, boy. The difference in lives.
Yeah, Simon Sinek is the guy's name that wrote The Infinite Game. So I'm really looking forward to that book. No, it's just her and I both are very, my girlfriend and I are both very independent people. And she works in the bar industry as well, or restaurant industry. She runs the number one steakhouse in St. Louis, the most expensive. But we're both like industry people and we're just very independent. So like, if we don't, you know, us being around each other all day, every day, we're just going to get annoyed with each other. You know? So
yeah,
you gotta, we both work really hard and we both work a lot and we don't see each other that often. Mm-hmm. So this is like, I'm going to be sad when this is over, to be honest with you. When I don't get to see her when I wake up every day, or I don't get to see, you know, spend as much time with her and go on walks and go on runs and do that type of stuff. It's going to be, I'm not looking forward to the end of it, but I am looking forward to the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so ready for the end of it. I need to break away from all the monotony that's going on at my job, because I work at College of the Ozarks. And so like all of our students are gone. So it's nothing but the staff. And it's just the same damn thing. It's copy and paste every single day. And it's so monotonous. And I'm just like, I like the people. I like some of the people I work with, but man, I need somebody to talk to again. These right. students, like they had a lot of stuff that they were bringing in. I'm like, come on, bring it in. I need
you just new. You just like promoting our podcast to them. That's all.
Listen, right. Our podcast didn't blow up until after I started. About, I'm just saying.
So, quick question for you, yes, sir. Do they still have the NAIA Division II National Championship at the College of the Ozarks?
They do not. They do not. Since the NAIA,
my senior year of college, I was a half court 3-point shot away from going to play in a national tournament at College of the Ozarks. Still a sour subject with me, even though it was 20 something years ago.
They, because the NAIA would not enforce the kneeling during the national anthem, they would not enforce them to have to stand up and put their hand over their heart. College of the Ozarks said, we are not going to do that anymore. So I think they have it somewhere in like South Dakota or North Dakota, one of the Dakotas now.
So that I played, that's where I played basketball at in college, is in South Dakota. So I'll have to look it up. But when I was in school, it was always at College of the Ozarks. And we were always, after junior college, I went to South Dakota to play. And like that's what we were always shooting for, is to make it to College of the Ozarks so we can play for that national championship. So
yeah. Yeah, that was where it was.
Was that recent? Did that just happen?
2 years ago, I believe. It really put a damper on the economy in Hollister.
Yeah, I can see that.
But the PGA Tour comes through here now, so.
Oh, nice.
Well, old people come through here, like people like Jack Nicklaus and soon to be Tiger Woods, which is sad to think.
Well, but, like Mark Wahlberg was there, and like a lot
Mark
of
Mark Wahlberg, Justin Timberlake, Larry the Cable Guy, Kid Rock. They all
wait, what? You guys are a stop on the tour now?
Yeah, because Johnny Morris made his own like golf course for like PGA essentially.
Oh wow!
So that's like awful. Jack Nicklaus has a golf course there. Tiger Woods has his first public golf course there. Gary Player has a golf course there.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's all on Johnny Morris's land, right?
Yeah, it's on his land. It's on Big Cedar's property, but it's like...
It's the guy who found him. Bass Pro Shops.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I work in a hospital, so like it really hasn't changed much as far as how much work I'm doing. But... It definitely has changed a lot as far as what we're doing during the day.
I honestly just missed the gossip that those kids brought in.
You're like, man, you can't, you're just like, man, the shit I worry about and the shit they worry about, it's like.
Two different things.
Yeah, definitely, right. Definitely.
You're like, man, it puts stuff in perspective for you. Like,
you go with your heart, that guy's an asshole. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that guy gave you syphilis.
Trenton, you want to go because you have a longer list than I do for these podcasts, so, books, and comic books and streamers.
So what I've got is I got a lot of streamers I like to throw out. My boy Sinister Gaming, he's a great guy. I actually did a cross stream with him earlier this week on Apex Legends, so we can kick some ass on that. My guy Leo Gets Plays, I've been following him for over a year now. Such a great act, great content creator. Love everything he does. Tata Typhoon, he was on this podcast a while ago. He's a great guy, great content creator, has a lot of fun. So is Madam Chris. She streams League of Legends, but she has really helped promote my stream and made it get even bigger. So we got a lot of likes out of her group of people, which is fun. I just, like I said earlier, started this new podcast with a bunch of guys called The Boys Podcast. We talk about video games and stuff like that and a bunch of different other things. We recorded our very first episode on Sunday, and I guess it's going to be a weekly podcast. I'm like, oh, weekly. I can barely keep up with a bi-weekly, and you're all wanting weekly at me. Oh,
right.
All right. I'll provide the voice. and of course, Critically Awesome. Duh. Gotta get that in there. I listen to my own podcast because I like the sound of my voice. And also my stream, too, because I got to know what I sound like whenever I'm playing and how it looks and stuff. So I've been playing Slender the Arrival. That is a scary game. I don't like being scared, but, people like watching people get scared. And they got a good show whenever I was playing that. Garrett was...
Yeah, you want to see Trenton scream like a little girl. That's the game for you.
That's definitely the game to watch, because I screamed like a little girl and I ran away. Matter of fact, on my stream... I have a intermission tab, and I call it the let's talk for a second tab. And that's to where I can go and, regain myself, get my heartbeat back down. If I have to change my underwear, I change my underwear, I just started playing Alien Isolation. I hear that is a very scary game. I haven't gotten very far in it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to progressing even further in it.
You should try looking and getting Fear. the game Fear. There's like three or four games of Fear.
There's three of them. My father-in-law has all three of them on the PlayStation 3, and as soon as I get a capture card, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be playing Fear on the PlayStation 3 and crying again. So, you know, I'm here for the views.
That horror genre for games, there's a lot of people that follow those. And, I can't do it because I'm the same way. I can't watch scary movies. Like, I'm like, I just can't.
I can't do it. I don't like it.
Playing a video game where I'm like,
I jumped up like on a jump scare. I jumped up and like ran away for bed is right there. So I can't get very far.
Oh, you should try Amnesia, Trenton, as well.
Oh, why are you doing this? Every time I say I'm going to be playing horror games, oh, you got to play this one and this one.
Mike, because it's like
you
the most.
Want me to die?
Really, honestly, all you got to do is just watch any old PewDiePie streams.
Oh, trust me, that's why
and
I did this because
he plays a lot of he plays a lot of horror movies or games. So definitely,
horror genre.
Yeah.
But yeah, the horror genre is a big genre because people get scared. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. I don't like it. I'm gonna cry, but you know it's okay.
Well, because there's a lot of indie games too that are horror games.
Indie games,
yeah.
Why does it have to be from India? not India games.
Not India. Indie, like it's a genre.
Yeah. Friday the 13th was really big for streaming, but the people that created a game lost the rights to Friday, didn't pay for the rights again, so they're not doing any updates for that one, apparently.
Huh. Yeah, I've also been playing Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, Trent and I have been playing Dead by Daylight, yeah.
That game isn't as scary as, like, Slender. Slender scared the piss out of me. It was so bad that my brother screenshots of my stream, and it was, like, progression of me going, and he's like, hey, check out what I found. I'm like, that's your girl. So
that's great.
All right.
Who's your main on Apex?
I main as Octane, but on the computer I have to main as Gibraltar until I get Octane back because I started restart. I just hit level 200 on the console, so.
I got you. Yeah, I'm Octane. Octane's my main as well. He's the easiest. And then really got into I can't think of his name. The Asian guy.
Crypto? Can't stand
Crypto.
Him. Can't stand him.
Really?
He's a buns. He's useless.
Mm.
Yeah. I like playing.
In-game wise, not in-game. In-game, when it's just you and two other squads, you can send that drone out quick and break their shields in game and then attack and you've got your all those extra hit points that because their shields are down. Sorry, mm-hmm. Nerding out.
No, you were. It's fine. That's what it's all about. That's what podcasting is about. I play Octane and Lifeline. Are my two big ones. And then sometimes I play as Gibby when the guy I play with cries too much. He's like, why don't you play as Gibby? Stop being such a buns person. I'm like, dude, I've been a buns person since day one. You know this. All right.
They just buff Bloodhound now. Like that scan that he does now is double what it used to be.
Huge. But they need to buff Octane. They need to like buff Octane, buff Mirage. That's what they need to get done. And then nerf Pathfinder.
I got a buddy of mine that spent $140 on that last event in order to get the Switchblade for Octane.
I'll just see if it comes in a package. And it doesn't. Right.
I'm like, spent $140 to get like a heirloom on this
on
game.
On a video game. No.
He's like, yeah, what's your point? I'm like, I'm just saying, man. Like, that seems awesome.
I think I've maxed out $40 because I buy the pass.
Yeah.
And that's $40 like once. Like there's $10 here, $10 here, and $10 here.
I don't spend any Apex coins and then that way I can buy the battle pass with my Apex coins.
Right. I just got I have enough Apex coins for I didn't finish it like I did last season. I'm not playing it as much because I'm trying something new and I don't like
right.
all the rage that I get from Apex now.
You're right. I play, man, the game I've been hooked on forever, I'll never get rid of it, is ARK Survivor Evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I had four years now, then I at least play it for a while, you know, and build up. It's basically Minecraft for adults, the iPhone. You start out on the beach in your underwear and every second of it.
That's crazy. Garrett, what's yours?
So, Marcus, clearly we don't play video games a lot.
I got to do some deep soul
Marcus
searching.
Marcus has an Xbox 360.
Realize where I'm at.
He has an original Xbox, actually.
OG Xbox.
I got a 360, sir.
Yeah.
I remember when Xbox first came out and it was huge. And, like, I wanted to win one at Taco Bell because that was the only way I was getting Xbox, my parents said.
Yeah.
You're like, the only way getting an Xbox if you wanted a Taco Bell. I'm like, well, let's fucking go to Taco Bell. I never got one. And I'm glad I didn't because, you know, I've been a PlayStation guy this whole time. You know, PlayStation 1 all the way to PlayStation 4 because we know how to count. We don't go Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox 2.
Love it.
All right. So,
Garrett, what's yours?
Well, I like to promote a podcast that I'm kind of helping edit and producing. It's called Kingdom Come with Spirit of True Fellowship. It is my pastor from my church. He kind of does a little like 10-15 minute little snippets that wants to kind of share with everyone, and just kind of reading from the Bible and everything. I actually do the intro and summary of it, so you'll hear my wonderful voice. So definitely go give them a check out. You can find them on Spotify as well as you can find them on the website at Spirit of Truth Fellowship, spiritoftruthkc.com. I've been reading The Witcher, book one, which I don't, Marcus, have you watched any of The Witcher at all?
Oh, sir, I have not.
Man,
indulged.
You definitely need to, do you like fantasy TV shows and stuff like that?
I've read about it because I think I saw, what's the Superman's name? Jason Cavalier?
Henry Cavill.
Henry, there you go. And so I saw him trending. I was reading up on The Witcher and how, like, he was a real fan and, like,
yeah, he really loves, like, the game, the Witcher games as well as the books. He's a big fan, definitely.
Okay, yeah, cause shit, the last real fantasy movie I watched that wasn't an MCU or DC was The Last Airbender the other day. And I was really upset that they haven't made a second one.
The live action movie you're talking about?
Yeah.
Dude, that was horrible. The only thing that good about it
The only good about it was M. Night Shyamalan?
No, the only thing good about it was the fact of how they did the Firebenders, where they just couldn't, like in the TV series, they could just pretty much produce fire out of nothing. But in that movie, they had to have a fire source to be able to control fire in some way, which I really liked because every other bender pretty much is that way. Like a water bender, you have to have water. Earth, you got to have earth. Air, you got to have air, which is everywhere. But, you know, it makes sense.
Not in space.
True. Well, no, there's still air, just lack of oxygen. Anyways, but you know, like with firebenders, they needed to have fire, which I thought that was really cool. They did that in the live action. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. But also, I want to give props to a podcast I just started listening to, and actually, I've caught up. I am up to date on them. It is Dungeon Dads. It's a D&D podcast. They, which is they're just a group of dads that love playing D&D, and they're freaking hilarious. I highly recommend this podcast, definitely, if you like listening to D&D podcasts. Also, I'm really excited because they are actually going to be one of our guests in like July or August, I do believe. So I'm excited to have them on our podcast as well. So definitely go give a listen to Dungeon Dads. Also, which I don't play a lot of video games, but I've been recently kind of getting into D&D. So that's kind of my my little plug there. So
I'm replaying Gears of War 3. If anybody want to understand where I'm at in life, I'm replaying Gears of War 3, and apparently I can't play Gears of War 4 because I don't have an Xbox One. So this is what my life's at. I'm hit the wall. I made a left turn somewhere. I don't know what I made. I hope my life choices pay off one day, because it is not right now. I am just a spectator, and you guys are all joy.
Well, Marcus, joy. I think a good spot for you to turn your life around right now is to go to the store, buy a PlayStation 4, and that's where you get all the ladies. Once you tell a lady that you got a PlayStation 4, you're like, oh, okay. I feel you. I see you. And that's where your relationship begins. You'll find yourself a nice, great gamer girlfriend who knows how to play a real console.
Or get a PC and get even more girls.
Ugly ones, maybe.
No. I can't even argue back, because I have nothing to... I have to try it, because my way hasn't resulted into nothing but problems.
I can't believe a good-looking guy like you ain't got a girl, Marcus.
I say the same thing.
I mean, you're such... You got such a great, like, personality. Look at that smile. Look at that beautiful smile.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's something... I'm losing them in translation somewhere. I know it's not me. It gotta be them.
Well, it might be because you're going to that bar, maybe. That's probably why.
It's not a gay bar.
Bartender. Whoa.
I said it's
nothing wrong going to a bar.
That's usually where you go to meet girls, Garrett. Isn't that where you met Sarah?
I met her at a country, like, dance hall.
That's basically the same thing. That's a bar, but the people are brave enough to dance.
Close.
Oh, no, we lost Cecil.
It's all right. He'll come
back. Cecil.
My guy.
Cecil?
There he is.
I can't see your face now, but I see your nose. Yeah, like I'm impressed by you guys' organization and how you guys do this remotely all the time, because we're so spoiled having like the studio in house. They're like, you know, doing this not in the same room I'm having a hard time, because you get used to having me and Cecil in the same room, and we know it's a process of creating a vibe, and you guys do it so well remotely for so long. Like, well, I guess I can stop bitching.
There's been a couple of times when we've done a podcast where we're together, and it's like we're on ecstasy, like, no joke. Like, we feed off each other so much more when we are together in the same room compared to when we're like on here. Because we tend to talk over each other more when we're online, but when we're actually in the same room, you talk over each other a lot less. But man, yeah, it's really awesome when we get a chance to actually be in the same room. But it doesn't happen very often.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're so used to this, like virtual studio that we have. That's what I'm gonna call it. It's the virtual studio, the Critically Awesome Virtual Studio, patent pending. But we're so used to that when we were interviewing people at Branson Con, we had never like live interviewed anybody before, and so we were sitting here like taking our notes, like looking at each other, like, all right, how do we do this? What do we got to do? Are we doing this the right way? Is there anything in my teeth? Like stuff that we wouldn't normally do. You know, because like normally our when we interview people, it's like this, you know, we were, like I said earlier, we were social distancing before it was even a word. So
yeah, I mean, I think your version is the hardest version. Well, hold on, let me bring it back. Wait, hold on. Wait, so one second.
Yeah, we all of our stuff.
All right, beginning. Is that better? And,
yeah.
Yeah. So like I was saying, like, you know, you guys do like remote learning, like online classes, which is way harder than going to class. Cause you gotta be so much more organized and on point. I'm so used to going to class at the studio that I'm like, we got a little bit of structure. I thought we was doing something with an outline and some segments. We just go to class and just show out and just let it ride. You guys, like, because you guys do online, you know, learning for the analogy. I'm like, hey, really? That's like online class. You have to be so much more on your shit and organized when you have to do it online class, where we go to the lecture hall and clown out and no plan. You bring one book and a notepad. You know
what yeah, we
yeah, like for us, like when we go to the studio, the not the trap. This is the I'm in the trap right now, right? The trap house studio, and then but when we go to the professional studio, it's so funny because we just walk in like no big deal. Everybody else is there like at the computers. Like we're like, man, what are all these people doing? Like so many people working there, and we're just like, what are we just walk in like, all right, we're ready to go. We got our backpacks on. We're ready to go. We just go into the studio and do our thing. And then they're all, you know, when we come out, they're like, oh my God, you guys are amazing. Like, it's so awesome. We didn't realize that the whole fucking, all the offices were listening while we were doing the podcast, which is crazy to me. Like, I still forget. Like, when we go back over here, go back over after all this is done, when the studio gets opened back up, I'm going to forget again that everybody's listening whenever we're doing the podcast. And we have probably like four different things that we try to stay on task with, that we're trying to keep everything kind of gathered in that respect. But the rest of it is just free flowing and, you know, talking shit. Like, it's like our podcasts are like when Marcus and I would sit at a bar, you know, after I get off work or whatever, we go to a 3 o'clock bar or whatever. And just like him and I talking about shit going on in our lives, you know, that's basically what our podcast is basically about. It's us talking shit most of the time.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it's definitely harder to do this remote stuff because we're having to like be redundant on how we record things, so we make sure we are actually recording, at least have something recorded to be able to publish. You know, it's definitely a lot harder than having to be in the same room, I feel like, because it just, there's so much latency issues sometimes and connection issues. I mean, you guys have gone in and out on your video like several times throughout this whole podcast. You know, it's definitely not as fun when you were together, but we had to make do what we got, at least for us. But we definitely enjoy when we can be together for the podcast. It's always a fun
time. I think the main thing is, like, you guys adapted to the situation.
Yeah.
You know, the situation was you couldn't be in the same room all the time, so you figured this out. And that's, like, Marcus and I talk about all the time on our podcast. It's always forward, man. Whatever you're doing, you're always forward. And you're always moving forward. You adapt to the situation. You're never absolute in thought. If you have to do things a different way, you got to do it a different way. Who cares? Don't let your ego get in the way of getting things done. And that's what I appreciate about you guys. You guys have definitely just got it done. Like, you guys have been doing this longer than we have, double the time, triple the time. But you guys still, no matter what, just keep going. Like,
now, we may not have a huge following, but we do this because we're two best friends that live 100 miles apart, you know, hundreds of miles apart. This is how we stay connected. This is how we stay together. You know, and I try not to pick up any of his phone calls through the week so I can have something to talk to him about during the podcast.
Or we're like, save for the podcast, save for the podcast.
It's just shut up, Garrett. Save for the podcast.
You know, it's definitely interesting because we're having to constantly try to revamp things, try to make things better. The fact that we're not together, it makes it harder because we each have to have our own equipment. We got to be able to record each other, you know, have everything like that, and just make sure that we're, you know, we have everything tip top shape. I mean, I had to figure out how to, you know, make our website, how to edit things on Audacity, things like that. You know, we had to figure out how to do things like that, that, you know, normally would be probably a lot easier if we were in the same room.
Right. It'd make life a lot easier. But man, Garrett, I tip my hat to you. You've kicked ass doing this, you know, making our website, making sure everything's tip top shape, going out and doing the research for all this stuff, you know. You know, I help provide the idea, and you help provide ideas too. Like, you know, we bounce ideas back and forth to each other, and that's what makes, I think, us work. These guys are fantastic because they're nothing but a ball of positivity is the word that I like to use.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's a ball of positivity?
You two.
Yeah, y'all a ball of positivity.
Man, if you knew, like, yeah, I mean, but it took a long time for us to get there. And going back to what you were saying about Garrett, it's the same way with Marcus. If it wasn't for Marcus, like this, like we wouldn't have, Soulardians wouldn't be what they are. You know, like, you know, I'm more of the, you know, finding people doing things, but Marcus makes things, you know, consistent. His shit gets out. You know, he's run 5 different fucking podcasts now. And now with the stuff we were starting with Tribe 314, he's taking so much on his plate. Now it's like, fuck, man. Like, I can't do it because then I've got, you know, now coming out of this COVID, I'm going to have, you know, 2 different businesses to run. And then a third, you know, our business, you know, the podcast with the Slardians. And then, you know, but the 2 businesses I have help fund what we're trying to work for on the bigger picture with the Tribe 314 stuff, creating a studio, creating an audience, creating, you know, this thing that's going to change people's lives that are starting out, you know, want to do a podcast and be able to come to something like Tribe 314, what it's going to become with all the different podcasts that are part of that. You know, Marcus is going to have to do the day to day to it. And he just stepped up and just did it. Nobody asked him to. He just did it. He's like, all right, I got it. And you know, without him, like, we wouldn't be able to get to where we are. And we're not even anywhere yet. But we're making steps towards it. We went to a meetup. And, you know, Marcus and I were thinking we were, like, the least organized people out of all this. And, you know, there's probably 70 people there. And we're walking in, like, we're just there to learn. Because we think we are the... like, we do it the worst out of anybody. But within 30 minutes, all 7 of those people were just coming up and talking to us about how we organize things and how we're doing everything. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And I just deferred to him on all the organization because he's the one that got all that stuff done.
Same. Garrett described this template. He did the website. He's done backbone of Critically Awesome. I brought him on. Right. I'm so glad I did.
Best business move I ever made. I haven't made a dime off it yet, but the best
business move I've ever made. Why don't I have someone bringing me muffins during
this time? I don't know. Knock on the wall. Ma! Muffins!
Ma! I need some muffins.
They've been asleep for hours.
So I think that we're going to name this podcast. We're going to name this episode Muffins. Muffins. Not Winging It Part 2. This one's going to be called Muffins.
I love it.
Muffins with the Soulardians.
Yeah, there you go. You guys, if you guys can get away, man, after this COVID thing, man, you got to come down. We'll do a podcast in the studio, and then we can hang out at the bar, and then
I can show you how I stay single.
you'll see why Marcus is single. Perfect. And I've been with the same woman for 6.5 years, and I haven't got married yet. Like, it's
just... I've been with the same woman. What are we going on? We're on 10 years. Yeah.
Oof.
Married.
Wait, and you're what, 30?
No, well, almost 30. Yeah.
Don't tell him that. Don't say that. He faints almost when you say that.
Oof. Shit. God damn.
I'm sorry, Mark.
God.
We're gonna have to take a bro trip to St. Louis and hang out with the Soulardians.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
was so excited for this podcast, too. Like, when I saw you guys were coming in.
Man, I don't know if you want to come up here with my thing. I'll party because I don't want that to be on my
You have to meet S Dot and Free and
that's what I'm saying. All
the rest of, man, like it gets a little crazy, man. It's fun, and by the time all this is when you guys can come down and you know, it's gonna be a lot on the plate. It's pretty fucking awesome, man. And we really like what we're building, and you know, just build momentum into the next chapter. You know, like everybody wants to say 2020, fucking COVID, whatever, man. We all been in, still doing the work. Like, we're still getting stuff done. Yeah,
definitely.
I'm gonna need your wives and fiancés to sign waivers. That's not your fault.
We will make sure that nothing bad happens to you.
I mean,
right? He'll make sure you guys get home. I'll make sure you almost not get home.
As long as we don't lose Garrett on a rooftop, I think we'll be okay.
Right. I mean, I may be like, hey guys, I need you to put these GPS trackers. I might have to embed one into your skin so we just know where you're at the whole time.
Because that's
it'll be fine. I'll be able to take it out. It's fine.
If we were to make a Hangover movie, right, I would be Bradley Cooper because I'm married. Garrett is Doug. Doug's on the roof. Yeah, Doug.
Yeah.
You know, we got Cecil here. You would be
Bradley Cooper.
Who's? Oh man, God, he's the dentist.
I'm not the dentist. No.
You've been with the same woman for a long time. Haven't gotten engaged yet.
Yeah, but
she's not terrible.
She never boned a bartender. Well, she has boned a bartender. She boned me, but
I bet it was on the cruise.
Oh God, it's
Marcus. I guess that leaves you as Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Just don't slip any roofies into our Jaeger, please.
I don't know.
Why do they even call them roofies? Most of the time you take them, you end up on the floor. I'll be your Doug. Oh, come on, man.
Don't ask questions, just do it. Trust me.
I love it. All right. I think that's a good spot to end it right there.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, we're
not
going to
even
time.
Talk about Wedding Crashers at all. We're not. We're just going to end it there.
I even had my girlfriend was like, I was like, I think it's something where we got to name a wedding we like to crash. And I was like, we were walking through Forest Park today, and I was like, yeah, I was trying to think of something to say. You know, I've been thinking all these, and she's like, oh. I think the most fictional wedding that would be the coolest to crash would be, goddamn, I just had Snoop Dogg and she's got the cooking show with him.
Ah, that'd be cool.
Snoop Dogg and
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. If they got married, that'd be the best wedding.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah. And I was like, that's pretty good. Anyway.
I was thinking Barney Stinson and Robin Scherbatsky's wedding from How I Met Your Mother. Just don't fucking do it. Stop. We spent a whole season on you, and you ended with the first 10 minutes of the last episode. Fuck you. No. Sorry, I'm still bitter.
No, you just brought up the bitterness for me in that, because I finally got that out of my mind, that how upset about that I was.
I know.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll just drink your pain away. It's okay.
I am. I'll forget about it in about an hour, right when I'm yelling at some kid on Apex for not... For like trying to pick me up whenever I got the guy shield knocked and he comes to pick me up instead of shooting the guy. Never mind. Sorry.
Why are you so lost in the sauce? Go push with me. I'm another town over. Anyway. Let's see here. Cecil, find me on a PlayStation. It's Critically Awesome with 1L. All right,
got it.
All right. You can find Critically Awesome on our website, criticallyawesome.net. If you have any questions, email us at criticallyawesome2015@gmail.com. Or even if you want to be a guest on our show, just shoot us an email. We'll be more than happy to get back in contact with you. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and cringy YouTube videos from when we first started out in 2016. And I talk about a cringe fest. You just go watch those videos and you'll see some cringiness. Oof. Also, please make sure that you like, follow, and subscribe to all of our channels and all of our pages. And, of course, our streaming page. I'll be streaming just about every day or every time I can. If you want to see some girly screams and some fun horror videos, definitely go check that out. Also, for your listening pleasure, for your ear hole, you can find us at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast. Please make sure that you subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. Garrett, any closing thoughts?
Thank you, Cecil and Marcus, for joining us today. We definitely enjoyed your presence on our podcast and definitely hope that Trid and I can make a kind of bros trip up to St. Louis to see you guys in person, as well as possibly maybe be on one of your episodes. That'd be awesome.
Oh, definitely.
Fantastic.
Definitely. Yeah, I look forward to testing your relationships.
What'd you say?
We could maybe
I look forward to testing your relationships. Misery loves company.
Right. We could maybe we'll talk to Mr. Cooper, and he's the guy that owns our studio. So he'd be like, "Hey, Mr. Cooper, you need to fly in the Critically Awesome guys and put them up at the Four Seasons for us so we can have them on the show." Hell, I mean, the worst he'd say is no. I mean, he's only got like $800 million, so it's not, I mean, he might say yes.
That would be amazing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be even crazy. He put us in downtown St. Louis to the Arch.
No. You can be right next to, you can stay at my place. AB, I'm in the shadow of AB. I can throw a baseball and hit AB with my front porch. Yeah, we got
hopefully
it.
By that time, baseball will be open back up too.
I don't think it'll be this year. Maybe.
No. I am
a Cardinals fan as well, sir. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not a Yankees fan like Marcus. Marcus is a Yankees fan. Oof, so
that's rough.
Yeah.
Why? That's not. We don't have the time nor the place.
No, we don't. This is unfortunately not a sports podcast. But anyways, Garrett, go ahead. Marcus, Cecil, do you guys have any closing thoughts?
I just want you to see the flag right there, bro.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Where's your Battlehawks flag?
Well, sir, I did watch the last Battlehawks game at a bar. So I will have a Battlehawks if they come back. I heard they filed bankruptcy. I don't know. Anyway, you can catch me on all social medias at Cecil W. Adams. Oh, I don't even want to close out. I'm like, Mark.
I'm just M-M-O Boston 314 on Instagram and Twitter. And that's Marcus O. Boston on Facebook. And then you can find the plethora of shows, the Solardians and Cognac and Another Round and High Off the Glass, everywhere you listen to your podcast. So you follow me, you follow us all, for real.
For real, for real.
Right on. Garrett?
Well, guys, we hope you have enjoyed this show. I am Garrett, and I'm Critically Awesome.
And I'm Trent, and I'm Critically Awesome. And remember, guys, stay awesome. Bye!